We're speaking with four members of a panel that we've assembled to discuss, and we hope inform our listeners about some current happenings with planning and zoning in Bonner County. Planning and zoning is by its nature complicated, and we're going to try to unpack that a bit for everyone today. So today we have with us Milton Olerton. He is the County Planning Director. Milton, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And we have Don Davis, who is a County Planning and Zoning Commissioner. Don, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for the invitation to talk about this important topic.
And we have two representatives of a couple of citizen groups that have been involved with planning and zoning issues. We have Susan Drumheller. She's a spokesperson for Project 7B. Hi, Susan.
Hi, thanks for having me. And Project 7B is a, we're a nonprofit that formed to educate and involve the public in land use planning and to advocate for responsible growth.
Okay, thank you for that little introduction there. And Susan Bowman, you're a spokesperson with Keep Bonner County Rural. Can you tell us a little bit about your group?
Yes, hi, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation. Keep Bonner County Rural has been in existence since about June of 2020, and it was an organically formed citizen group. It is more activist oriented than Project 7B, and we kind of work well with Project 7B, but we attend a lot of the hearings. And our goal, our mission really is to stop the county from doing the high density or the higher density development and doing the rezone. So that's our main goal, but also we do a lot of education as well.
Okay. Well, hopefully this is going to be a good educational talk today. I want to mention that our discussion is being conducted by Zoom, and that's given us some little variation in audio quality. I would ask that Don and Milton, you are on the same connection. If you can speak a little louder when you speak up, that would be great. Well, let's get into the discussion here. Last month, the Bonner County Commissioner voted to dissolve the Planning and Zoning Commission and replace it with two commissions, one of which will address zoning and the other will address planning issues. And I believe this takes place with the ordinance that goes into effect on March 30th. And Milton, you're our Bonner County Planning Director. Why don't you lay us down the framework on why is the county making this change?
So the county has been working on updating the comprehensive plan continuously for the last 5 years. The land use element of the comprehensive plan was last updated in 2005. So since 2005, the population in the county has increased substantially, 11,000. And so that change in population means also a change in land use. And so that just means that the comprehensive plan just needs to be updated. So we held sub-area, the Planning Commission created sub-area committees. And we went around the planning department and Don Davis from the Planning Commission went and met with these sub-area committees. And we have a really good idea of what these committees would like to see for their areas to, how they want their areas to develop. The challenge that we had is as we finished up the sub-area committee process at the end and beginning of 2021, the land use files and the building permit applications have increased so much that our office has just been overwhelmed busy. So last year, for example, the Planning Commission held 28 public hearings and they heard 111 files. So they're busy. And so to take time and set aside for comprehensive planning was difficult to find that time for them. So state statute allows counties and cities to create a planning commission to work on the comprehensive plan and a zoning commission to hear land use files. And so that idea was presented to the board. The board took that into consideration for a couple months and we looked at different scenarios and analyze this for them, and the board decided that it was in the interest of the county to create a planning commission and a zoning commission. So they created a 7-member planning commission that will work on the comprehensive planning process. They will also hear amendments to the comprehensive plan. Now, state statute also allows that counties only have to hear updates to the comprehensive plan every 6 months, but that has to be an ordinance. And so the planning commission is going to be busy working on the comprehensive plan, and they'll also be charged with updating the zoning code to match or coincide with the comprehensive plan. So there is a lot of work that has been done preparatory for the work that the planning commission is going to be able to do. So I'm excited about where the opportunity there for them to work on and things to get this accomplished and these updates done. Then the zoning commission will have the opportunity then to hear most of those files. Of those 111 files, 91 of those files would have gone to the zoning commission last year. So the zoning commission will still have a big responsibility. But then again, also because of the changes that we made last year to the subdivision code, we're starting to see more subdivision applications. And so the planning commission is going to see an increase in subdivision applications here in the future. So the zoning commission is also going to be very busy. So it was just an opportunity to divide that work and focus, allow the planning commission to focus on comprehensive planning and the zoning commission to focus on land use files. The board will appoint a 5-member zoning commission to hear land use files.
I believe the county is accepting applications for that. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
And we receive one or two each day. So yes.
Oh, you're getting a lot. Okay. Well, that's good. People want to be involved. I'd like to turn to Don Davis, the planning. You're on the current P&Z commission. Don, what is your take on this decision to split the commission up?
And I'm both speaking on my own behalf as a commissioner, but also from dealing with the other 5 or 6 commissioners over the past 5-6 years. You know, the Planning Commission is charged with coming up with and then updating the county's comprehensive plan. And it implies in the state code that this is done on a periodic basis so that you keep up with land use. And it is to take a 10 to 20 year view of the future and say what things should be or how it's laid out and then set goals. But as we've looked at that over the last 5 years and after forming the committees and hearing what they've said, there's still, yes, the land use component of the comp plan is the main part that directly deals with land use regulation and action. But the other 17 components have to be looked at to see how they affect the land use component, what things work into that from public services, from resources, all across the board. It's quite a broad list. In order to do that, the data has to be collected. Every one of those components, when you look at the state code, requires an analysis of what's going on under that component. So looking at history, looking at what's gone on, whether services are adequate to serve land use and growth, and therefore talking with all the agencies that do it. So in order to do all that, we've had 5 years we've been looking at it. We have relied on what the committees have come up with as a starting point, but we've got a lot of work to do. We're in the process of collecting data now so that when the Planning Commission does have the time to look at it, we can really hit the ground running and work on this thing. We don't have a time frame yet, a specified time frame. There's nothing required in county or state code. It's just working through it, making sure everything is looked at. So we're excited about it. I personally am. I know the other members of the existing planning and zoning are looking forward to having the time to spend on it. Both commissions are volunteer people. They're appointed by the Board of County Commissioners, but we're still volunteers. And the majority so far, at least on the present commission, out of the 6 of us presently on there, there's only 2 of us that are retired. So the other four are working full time. They don't have time away from their jobs. And I can't, I don't know how the makeup of all, it'd be five on the zoning commission and seven on the planning commission. But taking into account that people still are going to be working, we've got to have specific times to work on it. Over the last 2 years, I've quizzed the planning commission about having extra meetings, which we can do during the month, to work specifically on the comprehensive plan. And there was little to no response because nobody's got the time to take it separate. So we're looking forward to it. Want to get this done and take it from there. So,
Don, can I ask, will the current planning commission, just planning and zoning commission, become the planning commission, and then we're adding five new individuals to the zoning commission, or is there some change up in personnel?
The way the ordinance was written, existing planning and zoning commissioners can put in a letter of intent to serve. And whether that's on the planning commission or zoning commission, they're supposed to state that. Of the six of us that are on the commission right now, I think, and I'm not sure, but I think all six of us are going to request to be on the planning commission to keep the work that we've done so far vital. But so there will be, and as you stated at the beginning, essentially, yes, the Board of County Commissioners are dissolving the existing planning and zoning commission, but putting in its place two other commissions. But it was written in there that all of us have the availability of going for either commission.
Don, one more question before we get on to the others. How much time does a planning commissioner put in right now? I mean, it's all volunteer, and it sounds like it could be a heck of a lot of time.
Well, the meetings themselves lately are Thursday, every other Thursday, first and third. Are going. We start at 5:30, and three of the last seven meetings, we've been there until almost 10 o'clock at night. That's just to hear the files and talk with the neighbors and talk with the applicants, talk with staff. Outside of the meetings, we should be, and I think most of us are able to do it, reviewing the files ahead of the hearing so we get the gist of what it is. That's all done individually. We can't get together and talk about that outside of the meeting. So we do it at home or maybe come in the office here and look, but mainly it's everything's available online, all the staff reports and all the file information. So going through it and doing a little bit of research at home through county records and whatever, yeah, it takes time. And it could be that every file, you could spend half an hour, 45 minutes on it. It takes time. There's other parts to reviewing things. Just for instance, looking at the comprehensive plan, as we get a new person on the Planning and Zoning Commission, they're shown where to find it online, or they handed the book, the big loose leaf notebook that has the comprehensive plan in it. Anybody who's looked at that knows that it's a whole lot of reading. So it takes time to get that and understand it. Link that up and compare it against the zoning code to see how the transfer of information and goals took place and whether or not you come to the conclusion that it was fluid. So there's a whole lot of work that can be done by a person on the commission if they devote the time to it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Don Davis, for that. Let's turn to Susan Bowman. You're with the Keep Bonner County Rural. It's a citizen group. And I want to get your take on the decision to split the commission up. But let me phrase my question to you a little differently. So we know the county is coping with a lot of growth, and that creates stresses across the board. How does this help, or in your group's opinion, hinder the county's ability to manage growth?
Yeah. So from KBCR, Keep Bonner County Rural's perspective, again, our mission here is to basically stop the fire hose of growth, right? Like, we're all drinking from the fire hose here. And just my background and what I do for KBCR, I'm a planner, and I've been a planner for 20 years, and I consult with KBCR pro bono. And so from my perspective as a planner, the splitting up of the Planning and Zoning Commission is completely unnecessary. And I do appreciate that there are just, you know, again, the county has so many applications coming in. But there's a lot of ways to deal with getting your comprehensive plan done at the same time as dealing with a growth boom. And I've actually been involved in a lot of that, and I've written comprehensive plans before. And at the same time, you know, having to drink from that fire hose of absolute, you know, boom. So, you know, I think one way that they could deal with it is that they could hire a consultant to do, you know, the writing. First of all, I want to just put it out there also, the good work that the Planning and Zoning Commission has already done. The sub-area committees, great work. That is absolutely the direction that you want to go out to the people and get their input. So thank you to Milton and to the Planning and Zoning Commission for having that happen. That's a really good thing that they're doing. But now what they need to do is they need to put that together into all of the 15 or 17 elements that are required by the Land Use Planning Act. That is normally done by a planning consultant, and it's a one-time fee. So what they're doing instead is they're splitting up the two commissions, creating now two meetings, I guess, a week. This is going to be kind of a forever ongoing thing, right? That now you're going to have staff support those folks. Now there's going to be a lot of confusion with the public. They're already confused about planning, and now they're not going to really understand which commission do we go to. So I think it's a confusing thing to do. I think there's a reason why not a lot of planning departments do it this way. It is not standard practice, and I understand, you know, wanting to be creative. But one last thing I would say is that KBCR has submitted a code amendment. And I know we're going to talk about rezones a little bit later. We submitted a code amendment to stop the rezones. A lot of the applications that the P&Z has to hear right now are those rezones. And it is our contention, and I've done a lot of research on this, that they don't have to actually be passing all those or even hearing all of those. They could stop it by passing our code amendment. So they chose, as soon as we put in our code amendment, they chose to do this split up of the P&Z. And we were just hoping that maybe they could wait to split up the P&Z so that, you know, we could first maybe stop this fire hose. And then the P&Z would have enough time to get, you know, the stuff together for the comp plan. And that could look as simple as, you know, if you, you know, I know that the county planning doesn't have a long range planning department. That is something that a lot of planning departments have. You would have long range staff and current planning staff. And usually the long range staff are the ones that would, you know, do the writing of it. Maybe they would have some consultant, you know, help with that. And then they would go to the P&Z and say, here's what I've written, based on what the people want and what I've gathered of data. And then they take it through the P&Z. So that's, you know, from my perspective as a planner and then also KBCR, we would like to see, you know, not more confusion. And then the, you know, the other thing to take into consideration is that these two commissions they're going to be chosen by the county commissioners, the board of commissioners. So really, you know, people don't really have a lot of input. We're not going to be able to, you know who they're going to put on these commissions. They could, you know, the county commissioners could pack it with development-friendly people. We're not going to have any control over that whatsoever. And so that's something that, you know, KBCR doesn't like it, and the community doesn't like as well. So hopefully I answered your question.
Okay. Thank you, Susan Bowman. And we'll come back to Milton and Don for a response. But I'd like to turn now to Susan Drumheller with Project 7B. Susan, you know, what's your take on this as well as, you know, from your citizen group's point of view?
Well, we haven't taken a position on, you know, whether it's good or bad to, you know, split up the commission into a planning and a zoning commission. Our issue, I think, is more with the process. And we were disappointed to see that this felt like it got rushed through. And it sounds like maybe there's been some discussions, informal discussions within the planning and zoning commission and with the board. But those were not discussions that were ever part of that invited the public in to, you know, share their thoughts or to really be involved. And, you know, Project 7B basically started back in 2016 because the county started cutting the public out of the land use process. And that started with, you know, changing the zoning code by bypassing the Planning and Zoning Commission. They changed the code so that they would no longer have to change the code by first running it through the Planning and Zoning Commission. And that was challenged, but because the person who challenged it in court was not personally harmed, he was not seen to, you know, have standing in court. And so that stood. And so now the county doesn't have to run zone code changes through the Planning and Zoning Commission. And so they didn't run this by the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was no public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was no recommendation. There was no formal recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission or public input at that point before it went to the commissioners. And that's one way that they, you know, got this in front of KBCR's amendment. So we have a problem with the process, and we've had a problem with these changes to the code that have been ongoing since 2016 that continue to cut the public out of decision making. So that's mainly our issue. We'd just like to see these things more fully vetted and the public to have more involvement and understanding of why these things are happening.
Okay, well, I would come back to Milton. A couple of points were brought up by the two Susans. do you want to give a response on those?
So the planning department meets with the board once a month for board updates. And so it's at that meeting where we talk about the operations of the planning department. We talk about ideas. And that's where this idea was first presented. This stuff doesn't happen in private. I'm also bound by open meeting laws when talking to the board. I can't talk to the individual board members one at a time about the same topic. That's a violation of open meeting laws. And so I have to talk to the board in an open session, and it's all there for everybody to see. Those board updates happen on a monthly basis with the board. So that's where that idea was born. There's nothing underhanded to this or nothing planned. We didn't do it because somebody submitted a text amendment to the county. It was already in process. The changing of the ordinance back in 2016 happened prior to me starting. I don't understand or know all the details of why that happened. I do know that it does follow state statute. And they can't just change the zoning code completely. The board can hear changes to the code that do not affect zoning districts. And so this particular topic and the one that KBCR has submitted does not affect zoning districts. So KBCR did first ask for their project to go directly to the board. They asked for that. And then they called back a week later or 2 weeks later and asked that it not do that. So that was their decision. They had their text amendment was scheduled the 1st of January with the board, but they asked to change that. The Planning and Zoning Commission is scheduled out. Right now we're scheduling for the end of April. And so it was scheduled out. And so that's why it got pushed to February. So there was no malice. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to lay awake and think about malice. We're just trying to do a job and take care of the public needs, the customers, and take care of the responsibilities that we have before us.
Don Davis, Planning Commissioner, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I don't think so. It's just a state kind of restate that I'm not going to comment about the process. I think Milton covered that. But it's still the underlying need, certainly something that Susan Bowman was talking about as the state code allows, when it talks about the Planning Commission updating the comprehensive plan, it gives a list of resources that the commission could use, including hiring a consultant. The comprehensive plan that was put in place in 2005 was done by a consultant. There are a lot of issues that subsequent users and readers of the comprehensive plan have raised. As a planner myself, I look at that, what was done, and there's a lot of things that were done overboard or unnecessarily or incomplete. I don't want to see that happen again. None of us do. And that could be controlled, of course. That could be, a better scope of work and oversight of a consultant's work, so that we don't get a truckload of stuff where a pickup load is necessary. But with the work that the subcommittees have done, we still feel that put us far ahead in the whole topic of discussing what's needed. And now our quest is to see how the rest of the county outside of those specifically cordoned off sub areas fit, whether it aligns with what their subcommittees did for the adjacent areas or not, but how to then write it. And certainly it's up to us if we see the need to hire someone to write it, not necessarily do the background work and the investigation, but to compile it, to write it up. A good technical writer would be very well used there in that sense. So that's still on the table.
Yeah, that is still on the table. Chris, real quick to follow up with that we had a planner that was working on sub-area planning and went to all the meetings and wrote most of the sub-area plans. She did a fabulous job. She had training in it and was very well accomplished. She left, and we hired two planners that are now working on the comprehensive plan with the Planning Commission. So we do have two dedicated planners that are, working on this. One has experience with GIS and those analysis that need to be done, and then of course long range planning. So, I agree. I like the idea of a technical writer as well. Yep.
Okay, we want to only spend another minute or two on this, but Susan Bowman, do you have any last thought on the split?
Yeah. So, I appreciate what the county is having to go through for all of this. It really is a difficult decision. One of the things they put in their application to use as the reasoning why they needed to split up the planning and zoning was that they said that the people didn't want to hire a consultant. So now they're saying they do want to hire a consultant. So that doesn't track for me. So I don't know why they're changing that tune. I also would say that it would be better if the county would put some resources toward long-range planning overall. They wouldn't see themselves getting in this jam. And, it is, again, standard for planning departments to have a long-range planning team. And I appreciate they have a couple of folks, but that's generally not going to do it for something as big as the comp plan. And the comp plan is something that has to happen, on every like 10 years or 5 years or whatever, but it's not something that you have to have a staff member for forever. And so that's what I would say about that. And also I would say that if a consultant did a bad job 20 years ago, it doesn't mean you're going to get a consultant that's doing a bad job today.
Okay. Susan Drumheller, give you a last minute there to add anything else you want.
Well, I just want to point out that, the meetings that Milton has with the commissioners are not really advertised as over a particular topic, and so I still think that it was I think it would have been more appropriate to discuss this zoning code change before the Planning and Zoning Commission before forwarding it to the county commissioners and having a public hearing and having there be more public vetting of it. I think you would, I think there's a real trust issue right now with the county government when it comes to land use planning. And I think having more opportunities for the public to be involved will help resolve some of that.
Okay, well, we're gonna run short of time before we even know it. So I wanna spend the next bit of time talking a little bit more about specifically about zoning. Susan Bowman, I think you're the one that said the county's been drinking from the fire hose trying to deal with the growth we're having. And with growth, the county's seen record numbers of zone change requests and approvals of those zone changes. So Milton, maybe you could lay the framework here. How does the process work for a zone change to happen right now?
Well, we field a lot of phone calls and walk-ins every day where folks have an interest to do something with their property. And so staff will meet with them and go over the requirements of the zoning code. Oftentimes, more often than not, the folks will leave with the planner telling them that a zone change would not be recommended for that property based on the zoning code and the layout of the map. But the number of zone changes that we're having has a lot to do with the fact that when the zoning map was laid down in 2008, it was done at a 30,000 foot level. You'll see the zoning map laid down along section lines, and it didn't analyze all of the factors on the ground when laying down the zone map. So you have property owners that they feel that their property should be a 5-acre zone based on the requirements of the 5-acre zone. And so they'll request that. And when it matches the code, when it matches the requirements of the code, the applicant will turn in an application. That application goes to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a hearing and then to the board for a hearing. So we have had a number of files that have come through requesting their property be rezoned. Several times there have been rezone requests for split zone properties. Properties where, like I said, the zoning went down a section line, but it split a property in half or a third and two thirds. So the property is zoned, you know, R5 and AF20. And so that will require a comprehensive plan amendment and then a zone change to bring that if they want to go to R5. Some of that has to do with the demand, right? I mean, the demand and land use prices are pushing some of this. So, I mean, you can sit down and look at the county and see where, you know, where that growth has been occurring for the last 10 years, 10 or 15 years even. So, because you're seeing property that's already zoned breaking down to its lot size minimum, right? We're seeing 10 acres split down to 10 acre minimums. We're seeing 5-acre zoning split down to 5-acre minimums. We're seeing suburban lots split down to, you know, 2.5 or 1 or 10,000 square feet if they're in a sewer district. So, I mean, we're already seeing land break down because of the demand. But again, it is more than normal, but it's not what other areas in Idaho are experiencing, right? I mean, the zoning, the subdivision ordinances created 750 new parcels last year. All of the applications that we received for land division, family exemption, short plats, minor land divisions, we created 750 new lots. So whereas, you know, other counties are experiencing 1,000 lot subdivisions or 3,000 lot subdivisions. So it's just not exponential growth, but it's big growth to us. And so we need to analyze things and be aware of things better.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's go to Susan Drumheller with Project 7B on this question. Susan, you know, there's a concern out there that the uptick in zone changes is creating spot zoning and higher densities for parts of the county than is consistent with the comprehensive plan. What is your take on that from the 7B, Project 7B perspective?
Well, I think the biggest concern, I think the thing that was somewhat alarming to us was when we started to see changes to the comp plan as a result of this. And this is where things tend to get confusing. The comprehensive land use plan, which the county is working on updating and does need to be done periodically, that plan, you know, had a lot of buy-in from the community years ago when it was created back in 2005 or six or whenever it was. And that part of that comp plan is the land use map. And that's different than the zoning map, okay? But the land use map is that 30,000 foot view where the community came together and agreed on the areas that they want to keep rural, that they want to keep for ag timber, where rural residential is appropriate, you know, for 5 to 10 acre parcels, and then where urban areas could be and suburban areas, recreation, resort, you know, all these different kinds of uses, big picture, were mapped out. And that land use map is part of the comprehensive land use plan. And so what's happened is people might have something that's zoned ag forest, or zoned ag forest, and it's in the land use map as ag forest, but they want it to be rural residential 5. And so they go to the county, and the county should just right off the bat say, nope, sorry, that doesn't fit. You know, our land use map says this is ag forest, so we can't do that. We can only change a zone within the land use designation that's in the comp plan, that's on that comp plan land use map. And yet instead what they're doing is they're changing the comp plan. Every time somebody comes in with one of these, well, maybe not every time, you might have sent people back to the drawing board before, but we've seen just a huge number of these. And that was sort of like the big red flag warning for me. And I think down construction is a good example of that. And I know there's a line in the comp plan that talks about ag forest being 30% slopes or greater. Well, the Selly Valley, most of that is ag forest, and it's not 30% slopes or greater. So instead of changing, you know, a property in the middle of the Selly Valley and creating a spot zoning in the land use map that makes it rural as residential in a sea of ag forest, you should just change, you know, you need to amend that line in the comp plan that has this criteria that says 30% slopes or greater, because that is what's inconsistent internally within the comp plan. Anyway, I'm probably going on and on and on about something that's starting to get too granular, but that is what raised the red flag for me, was seeing them going to the comp plan and making comp plan amendments as more of a routine thing when that should not be happening.
Okay. Susan Bowman, I wonder, turn to you now. As you mentioned, Keep Bonner County Rural has submitted a code amendment to basically stop rezones, as I understand it. Can you tell us more about that and how it would even work since we were experiencing all this growth?
Sure. So first of all, I'd just like to make the point that a rezoning property is a serious thing. You're rezoning the map. Okay. And so it's not something that's often done by planning departments unless they really don't have their zoning down. I know that the 2005 comp plan was created together with the people. That comp plan created the zoning code. The zoning code is the law. The zoning map is the law. Okay. So if you're not following the zoning map, you're not following the law. Also, within the zoning code, there are very specific procedures that are laid out that need to be adhered to because the zoning code is the law, that the county is not adhering to these very specific code requirements, okay? And I'm speaking specifically of Title 12-211. And it says that they have to be necessary, that in order for a person to come in and request a different zoning designation, which again is a serious thing, it has to be necessary, and you have to take into consideration all of the different things, like how will it affect neighboring property owners? How will it affect county services? None of these are being taken into consideration with any of these code amendments, not any at all. So the procedures aren't being followed. Instead, they're going to a different part of the code that doesn't have anything to do with the procedures for changing the zoning map. So I want to note that Milton said that when people come in to do a zoning change, they may, and he said this word, they may feel that they need a different zone because it doesn't match these descriptions that are in the zoning code. Well, you don't rezone your property on how you feel, okay? There's very specific procedures, again, not being followed. So that's why we submitted a code amendment to try to get and urge the county to go to this section of the code that is clearly built for anything that happens to be a rezoner when people feel like they need to rezone, feel again. However, what I would say is that split zoning does have to be fixed. So in our code amendment, we left room for that because mistakes are made. Of course, mistakes are made, but the county has given absolutely no evidence that overall the entire zoning lines that have been drawn in this county, there's no evidence to say that they've been done wrong. And in fact, I would say for the vast majority, what I've looked at, it has been done correctly. And I've spoken with the past planners that have done this work. It has been done correctly. There are little tweaks that must be made for split zoning and such, but it really should never be the case that a person can come in and just say, I want this zoning and, you know, it kind of matches this description. Otherwise, you have now negated all zoning when you've done that. That's what spot zoning is. And this is spot zoning that they're doing. It is the definition of it.
Okay, well, we're going to come up short on time, and I still want to talk about the comprehensive plan some more, but let's swing it back to Don Davis on this issue of all the zone changes that are taking place. Don, what is your perspective on this?
So I can comment it from the standpoint of the zone change request that the commission has taken up over the last year or two. To put it, for the most part, a lot of the zone change requests are frustrating to the commission because, number one, as has been stated, and it's something that we've tried to deal with and comment on, it does imply that mistakes were made in the past. And that's generally the reason why it's necessary, because a mistake was made and so forth. Some of that's valid, some of it, we've commented on during the hearings that we don't think it's that way. The ones where it's a line on the map and which description of a zone does it fit better, those appear to have some validity, and that's been the strength of some of the recommendations that we've made to the Board of County Commissioners. The definitions in the zoning code for the different zones, again, as Susan pointed out, the zoning code is law, and it says, here's a description of a 5 acre, here's a description of a 10, here's a 10, here's a 20 in those various zones. And if the ground doesn't meet that description, regardless of what was done in the past, that's the law again. So it can be applied, and that's the strength of what we've done in recommendations. Should those be changed? We think so. They can be better. They can be much better descriptions. There's a question whether or not the zoning or the comprehensive plan, the comprehensive plan boils down to a state code requires the land use map and the descriptions of the land uses, you know, on the map. How specific? A comprehensive plan, the courts have said over and over again, it's a guide. It's not law. It's a guide. And then based on that guide, you come up with the law, which is the zoning code and the subdivision code. So anytime that a comprehensive plan really gets specific, cutting A to B and whatever, maybe that's gone too far. Maybe it should be broader than that. So that's something we're going to look at in the update, is to handle some of those things that have been the emphasis for making the changes to comp plan amendments or the zoning code or the zoning changes, and clean those up and make them work better, make them fit the land. We wish we could go along with every potential zoning district and look at especially the fringes of those districts. That's one other thing too that we grapple with. When zoning codes are placed down in code, they're a district. They're not a property, they're not a lot, they're a district. And that has, for the sake of the landowners, there should be some predictability what that district implies for them as a landowner, for coming in to look at it, and so forth. Now, here's another situation I got to touch on real quick. We've had a number of people who have moved into the county, and in today's market, you buy what you can afford and so forth, and hopefully they buy something that they really like and they intend to use properly and so forth. But I've got to use a personal case. Our family went through and divided a piece of property that was the grandparents' house and onto 10 acres, which meant was zoning, and then a residual 17 for the rest of the property. The first owner of that 10-acre parcel, the first question they asked was, can I divide this? It's 10 acres zoning. But they said, what am I going to do with 10 acres? And we've heard that story countless times, even through some of the zone changes in the recent months and years. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't take care of it. I don't know how to deal with 10 acres. I want to divide it and sell off half so I've got something more manageable. But they're not respecting what's there. Then it gets down to relying on a description of property. Well, my property is flat. It doesn't have 30% slope. Therefore, I fit this, and therefore it's warranted to go with this zone. Until the code is changed to handle those things, the code is the code, as Susan said.
Okay, well, we have a limited amount of time left, and this actually segues right into the last subject we hope to get to today, and that's talking about the comprehensive plan update. Planning Director Ollerton, maybe you could tell us what the steps are to accomplish the comp plan update pretty briefly, because we're all down to about 5 minutes that we have left to us.
Well, we're going to work with the board, and the board will appoint the planning commission. And I hope that Don will stay on and participate in that. Don has been the lead of that process, representing the Planning and Zoning Commission. And so it is just going to be taking those subarea plans, bringing them together. Four of the five have created maps, bringing all that information together. The one thing that was awesome about the subarea planning committees is that as we went around to each committee, they all basically said the same thing. They all have the same vision for the community. And so it's really going to make it much easier to go through and lay down what those communities wanted in the comprehensive plan. I'm pleased with that result, and I'm pleased where we're heading. And so it's going to be bringing all that information together, working with the Planning Commission to formulate that comprehensive plan update. So.
Okay.
Throw in real quick, Chris.
Okay.
State code and county code say that it is the distinct responsibility of the Planning Commission to formulate and update the plan. Yep. We use the Planning Department staff as staff. We're not directed by the Planning Department to do A, B, or C. We get to do it. That really emphasizes this is a citizen-based plan. It's not coming out of professional planners. Yes, we're going to rely on advice and so forth. And that's just like the 2005 plan that was done by a consulting engineering firm, which has a whole staff of planners. So they put their stamp on it. We want to have this to be a community-based plan. And so far we've had well over 100 people involved in that process countywide through the five different area committees. So it's been great. We want to continue with it and wrap it up.
Okay, Susan Drumheller, we have about a minute and a half for you to give us your take on what you'd like to see happen with the comp plan process.
Well, that all sounds great. We do need a lot of citizen involvement. And I think there was a lot last time. And I think where the rubber meets the road with the comp plan, and one of the most important things in it, are the goals and objectives. And I don't think anybody really thinks the goals and objectives in the current plan are broken. That overarching land use map that the zoning designations fit within And the goals and objectives are the things that really are the meat of the comp plan that the county needs to abide by when they're making decisions about zoning. And so, yeah, that is not broken. I just thank you very much, Don, and the rest of the folks who are working on this.
Susan Bowman, what would you like to see happen with the comp plan update?
Yeah, I would echo much of what Susan Drumheller just said, and would emphasize as well that the current comp plan isn't broken. It is what the people want. We want to keep it rural. That means a mixture of lot sizes, including 20, 10s, and 5s in the appropriate areas. And we're really happy to hear that the Planning and Zoning Commission wants to work with the people. I also want to thank the Planning and Zoning Commission, because I know they're some of them might be on their way out. They've done really good work. And I know that volunteer time is a lot. So thank you to them. And we look forward to working with the planning department and everyone to make a great comp plan.
Well, we're at the end of our time. I really want to say thank you to all four of you, Milton Olerton, our county planning director, Don Davis, our county planning and zoning commissioner, Susan Drumheller with Project 7B, and Susan Bowman with Keep Bonner County Rural. It's really been educational, and I hope people keep engaging with this process, because it's going to be a big one as we go forward that helps determine, you know, what kind of county we end up with, right? So thank you all very much for talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
That's our show today, and I'd like to say thanks again to the four participants in our panel discussion. Here's one more note on the topic of land use. One current issue coming up before the Bonner County Commissioners just this next week is the reconsideration of their decision to vacate the Camp Bay Road and the public access it leads to, which effectively gave the road and beach to a private development being built at Camp Bay. The commissioners were ordered by the First District Court to reconsider their decision, and they're doing that this next Wednesday, February 16th. Both the Sandpoint Reader and the Bonner County Daily Bee have written stories on this, which you can find if you Google the words Vacate Camp Bay Road in Bonner County. And with that, we'll leave you with a noggin full of information on our county planning and zoning. I'm Chris Bessler, today's host. Thanks for listening today.